You're listening to Mortgage Lending Mastery. Get the knowledge you need to advance your mortgage practice quickly and efficiently from Jen Duplessis, America's Mortgage Mastery Mentor with over 37 years of experience and over $1 billion in lifetime fundings. Jen has been mentoring loan officers and realtors for over 15 years and speaking on stages across the globe. So settle in and get ready as Jen and her guests share their experience, passion, and strategies to help you crack the top producer code to reach new heights in your business. And now, here's your host, Jen Duplessis, Mortgage Mastery Mentor and head chick in charge of Kinetic Spark Consulting.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Mortgage Lending Mastery. I'm your host, Jen Duplessis. Today, my guest joining us is Drew Brentz, who is the founder and CEO of what we used to know as just Pre-App 1003, which is now expanded into Broker Plus. So welcome to the show, Drew. We are so happy to have you.
Thank you, Jen. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Yeah, and we've had some challenges getting here, right, with my technology. So I'm so glad that you have a technology platform that actually works rather than my Zoom. Right. But we're excited to have you. So, you know, as a loan officer for many, many years, I actually use Pre-App 1003. And ironically, I send some of my current coaching students to Pre-App 1003 as well, because some companies still have very antiquated systems where
yes, they
need the 1003 to be able to pull things into their LOS. So I want to start with your career. Why did you develop Pre-App 1003? Were you in the mortgage business? Were you not? Did it come from your own mess that you needed to create a message out there?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. So yeah, I've been in the business for 23 years, everything from wholesale to retail and back to wholesale. I started my own broker shop back in 05. I still own the mortgage broker shop to this day. But Pre-App, really, the idea was I was needing to reconnect with some realtors, sort of revitalize my business. And I pulled out an old pre-qual form that we used in the 90s that you would hand out to realtors, and they'd fill it out and they would fax it in. And you remember those. So,
oh, yeah.
So I said, I want this digitalized where someone could text a keyword, do a short code, and get a secure form, and they could fill it out. And that's really how it started. I reached out to a friend of mine that programmed that. I saw it. I thought, we're really onto something. This was before we ever saw the first Rocket commercial.
Yeah.
So the idea of a mortgage mobile app or a pre-app or whatever was, it was really a novel idea. And believe it or not, I looked, I didn't even plan on starting a tech company. I looked high and low. I even asked other tech companies, hey, there's a big niche. There's a big market for this. Can you please build it? They're, oh, we're not interested in it. And so I said, you know, we'll just do it. And right there, as soon as I saw it, I said, Neil, we could call this Pre-App. We call this Pre-App 1003. Let's start a company. And that's how it started. And then just to sort of fast forward, then it was like, oh, now we need to pull credit. Now we need to manage docs. Now we need to run DO. And then the last couple of years, it was like, let's scrap it, start over, and let's build it into a full-blown LOS with a CRM and a point of sale for the broker community.
Yeah, I love that. And so specifically for brokers, so for those who are listening who are lenders and wholesalers and warehouse line companies, this is not for you necessarily.
Not yet. Well, the point of sale is in the CRM, but the LOS is for brokers now, but later we're going to be rolling out with Lender Plus.
There you go. Yeah. So not Broker Plus, but Lender Plus. So what's happened in the last umpteen years? So we'll just use umpteen as a word because there's so much time in here. It's funny because there's a lot of time, but there's a lot of technology, the tsunami of technology. We are now on the brink of another tsunami of technology. So tell us a little bit about your forecasting for the future of the lending space. And for those that are listening that are still handwriting a 1003, still sending someone to their website to fill out an application, what does the future look like on that side?
Well, there's a lot of people a lot smarter than me out there building technology. I will admit that. You have some companies and some tech platforms that they're all about trying to automate and remove the human touch out of the equation with robotic type AI and things. And I understand there's a big push for that. The way we've approached this is we want our system to involve the human touch. We want our system to be something that is not only user-friendly for the borrower, but also to facilitate systems and ways to keep the loan officer and keep that personal loan consultant involved in the transaction, either through video or through just interaction. But there's a lot of systems that have been around, like you said, umpteen years. That's really 1990s technology. It's all sort of, well, you know what I'm saying. Now, like ours, is browser-based, it's cloud-based, and it's mobile responsive. So, and I know this isn't a commercial, but I've got to give this testimony because I was giddy like a kid when it happened. I was deer hunting down in South Texas this past January. If that offends anyone, forgive me. Just overlook that. I'm from
Texas. I'm okay with it. Yeah, I'm good with it.
So I had a doctor that reached out and filled out my pre-app the night before, and I'm sitting in a deer blind the next morning. I'm waiting for the sun to come up. I'm like, what am I going to do? And I had cell service. I said, yeah, let me work this guy's loan. I literally structured this guy's loan, pulled his credit, reviewed his docs. I then ran DO, issued an approval letter and a closing cost worksheet all from my cell phone. You know, looked at his, what is he lacking, updated his needs list in 10 minutes from my cell phone. So that, I believe, is what really makes technology just great for our industry. It's not replacing us, but it's helping us serve our customers better. That's the lane we're in, and that's the lane we're going to stay in.
Yeah.
I say that we're going to stay in, but you never know how things evolve, you know?
So. I know. Well, and it just, and it aligns so much with what I talk about all the time, because it's funny, as you were talking about this, I remember like probably in the late 90s, maybe the beginning of the 21st century, everything that I had on my flyers that I was making said high tech, high touch, high tech, high touch. And it was this buzzword that we used, and then it sort of went away. But I really feel like it's coming back a little bit because people are saying, yeah, we want the high tech. We need it. We're moving at 100 miles an hour. We absolutely want it, but we also want the human touch, and especially post-COVID.
Yeah.
We're back to saying we just got to have conversations with people and we really have to meet them. So I love that you're integrating both. And that is the key word. It's an integration into our lives as loan officers. It's that integration that allows us to have the beautiful lifestyle that I coach on. That's what I coach on, is having that. I hate the word balance, so I'm going to say it, but I say it a lot when I'm talking to people because then you understand what I'm talking about. But for me, it's more integration. So when you go back to think about putting this together in your career, you know, in the lending space, and it's still going strong now, to a certain extent, what do you think is your biggest gift that is a gift that for others is very hard to see or hard to do? You know, it's one of those things where you say, I don't get why you don't get this, because it's such a gift for you. What are your gifts?
My gifts, I would say I'm just in tune with people's pain points. I've been in the ditches. I've originated loans. I know pain points. And I hate to say it, but they say, if you can make someone's life easier or more comfortable, you'll be a billionaire. And it's all about, how can we make the LO's life easier? How can we make the borrower's life easier? How can we remove pain points? That's actually why we even decided to go just from a point of sale to build it into a full-blown all-inclusive platform, because I had pain bringing the point of sale Fannie files into the LOS, and it was too many steps. So I said, forget it. We got to streamline this. And so I think my gift is to be able to look at something, look at a problem, and think outside the box. And how can we get from point A to point Z a little faster, a little better? How can we get it done? If other people say it can't be done, I'm thinking, well, yeah, it can be. We just got to navigate it right. So I would say that would be my strengths. We won't talk about my weaknesses. Lord knows I have enough of those.
So. I wasn't going to ask you. So you're off the hook on that. Don't worry. Okay. Don't worry about it. I wouldn't want to do that to people. Yeah.
Can I interject something on what you said earlier?
Sure.
Fannie Mae actually did a poll. This was maybe 3 years ago with millennials. And what it was basically millennials said, we want better tech. And they said, do you want more or less human interaction in the home buying process? They said, we want more human interaction. Mm-hmm. That was from Fannie Mae.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to like drop that in there, that the powers that are higher than us, they actually did an official poll and came up with the same conclusion.
Yeah. Well, you know, no time in history have we ever had this situation, which is we have five generations working at the same time. And this is the first time that that's happened. So we have to be able to look across all of those to see how we can serve every one of them. It's just important for us to be able to serve every one of them. So even though there's technology, being able to have that human touch bridges that gap for those that aren't techie. So I think that's an important piece. I have a couple of other questions for you. So another question I have for you is, so you've developed also a CRM. As a coach and mentor, this is one of the biggest problems that people have. Systems are everyone's problems. It seems like people have a lot of problems with systems. So when people ask me about CRM, so for years and years and years, I developed or worked on Salesforce. In fact, I created my own platform, which later Salesforce purchased from me, which subsequently became Jungo. So that platform, that,
wow,
that standard is right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, they've blown it up into beautiful things since then. So when people say to me, what CRM do you use? I said, oh, well, I use Salesforce/Jungo, but the, I don't want to say the boundary. There's a phraseology for this, but getting to market with it is very difficult. The learning curve is substantially high. So tell us about your CRM. Have you made this user-friendly, like the person, the let's call it the baby boomer who has said, you know what, fine, I'll get a Facebook account. Right? And is just now grabbing onto the technology. What have you done in your CRM that makes it unique and different so that people actually use it? Because we know that. What CRM do you use? The one that you use, right?
Exactly. And I believe in the KISS principle, keep it simple, stupid, you know, or keep it super simple, whatever, however you want to say it. So people have asked us, what platform did you build your CRM on? Everything in our system is proprietary. So we actually built it from scratch. Our CRM currently, as it is today, this is June 18th, 2021. We call it phase one. Okay. I don't think any technology is going to be completely finished. So we have a lot of things still on our development list that we're going to be adding, but I've been pretty adamant with my programmers and people involved in our team that if you've got to hire someone to configure your CRM, like as far as ongoing, like I have to have someone dedicated for this, or you need an engineering degree to figure it out, then I think that's bad for mortgage professionals. I mean, Jen, you understand how we are. We want plug and play. I want to throw a little bit of money at it and I want it to work. Exactly. So our CRM right now is it tied into our system and it does email drips. It does text drips. You could inject videos into it. You could be actually in a loan file. And we have a little communication there. And, you know, like, and instead of making a phone call to the person, which, you know, I'm going to blow 20 minutes, you could just pull up a little window and send them a video text, or you could record your screen and send it that way. So if maybe you want to go over fees or something. So of course, the milestones are part of that, where it's transactional, where if you hit certain milestones, it'll update the realtor, update the borrowers. So it's really about seamlessly staying in touch with someone throughout the process. And obviously we have preset campaigns and things that is very plug and play, or you could customize it. And it's very simple to do. You actually can even manage it from your mobile phone. When I update something really quick, you do it from your cell phone. Or if you want to take a quick video and shoot out a Merry Christmas to all your referral partners, instead of it being preset, maybe you, like for instance, one time I was sitting out back, I was barbecuing. I think it was Christmas Eve. I was cooking a turkey on the grill or something. And I said, you know, I'm just thinking about my partners. I just want to wish them Merry Christmas and how much I appreciate them. I pulled out my cell phone and boom, sent it out that way. So that was when we were playing around with some tests for phase one before we went live with it. But to answer your question, it is simple.
Yeah.
It does what it needs to do. It's pretty turnkey. Now, if you want to get really detailed, I mean, if for those geeky LOs, I mean, you can actually dial in, hey, I want to target my database that closed over 6 months ago with a loan amount of X or higher and credit score of X and higher. And, you know, this zip code and this and that. And I want to dial that in. Anybody in my system that meets that criteria, I want to automatically add them to this group and put them on this email and the drip campaign. It does that, but it's going to take a little more dialing in. So,
And that's really cool that it actually does that. I think that's important. So I'm going to ask a very self-serving question for CRMs, because I ended up having to have Salesforce build this for me. Thankfully, they didn't charge me. I was really lucky, but I do something called the Great Retrace. And actually my dear friend, Michael J. Mayer, who wrote Seven Levels of Communication, he also wrote the foreword to my book, Launch. He does something called the Great Retrace. And I picked up on it immediately and started using it. I find that most CRMs don't have a way for you to do a backwards retrace on where you got the referrals. So if I got a referral from you, I'd want to look at who referred you and then who referred them and who bequeathed them and who bequeathed them, so that we could do a great retrace with every single referral that came in. Hey, I just got a referral from so-and-so. Remember when you referred me that person? Well, they just sent me a referral and now we're five referrals in. And I just want to say thank you so much for that. So do you have something built in that Or would you consider building something like that so that people could exercise on the Great Retrace?
Yeah. No, I mean, currently we don't have that. I didn't even think about that, to be honest, Jen. And you know, I mean, so that's a great idea. And we definitely would be open to adding that to our development stack. Like I said earlier, what I described is just phase one. We've got a lot of things planned for the CRM, as, you know, as long as we keep it user-friendly. And that would be a great feature. And if you want to be involved with helping us, sort of advising us on that, and I'm totally open to that as well.
Well, thank you. That wasn't where I was going with it, but thank you. And of course I would. I would love to advise on that. But yeah, I mean, these are some little things that I think would be so beneficial for people. It's something I call momentum multiplier, is that people have all these loans and these acres of diamonds underneath them. Loans have been falling from the sky like stars, right? They've been falling from the sky and they're landing on the ground and they're all these beautiful acres of diamonds. And we're still looking up at the sky going, where's the next one? Where's the next one? Where's it happening? And we have these acres and acres that we could be digging in and pulling up and manifesting. So and that's one of the things that Great Retrace does, is allows you to take one transaction and turn it into multiple just with a simple strategy of what you already have in your hand.
That's great. And I love it.
Yeah. So, well, thanks for allowing me to say that. And I didn't mean to put you on the spot. You didn't have to say that you would develop it or anything. But yeah, there's a lot of technology out there, I think. And this is one of the reasons why I ended up building my own Salesforce, because I just couldn't take it anymore. So I didn't have all the pieces I wanted. So I want to kind of divert from the product for a second and kind of move into, what are you seeing with loan officers moving forward as far as the technology piece? Those that are going to adopt are going to survive. Those that aren't going to survive. Do you see that there's a nice mix? What are some of the predictions that you're hearing and seeing from the colleagues you're speaking with as to what the role of a loan officer will be in the future? And then what's going to happen with our industry as a whole?
Okay. So, well, let me just say, I'm definitely not an expert to answer that question. So I'm just—
Oh, it's your opinion. It's okay.
My opinion is, I think guys and gals out there that are maybe, let's just say they're even taking hand apps, somehow, some way they've survived and carved out a relational environment. And I think that they'll get business. I think if they want to work hard, then don't use tech. I think you'll still service those, that clientele, and make it easier for everybody. But I don't think they're going to go out of business if they don't get the latest and greatest tech. I just think technology is a convenience. And it's definitely a facilitator for everybody involved.
Good point. Yeah.
Where loan officers are going in the future, I think that we're going to have to adapt to be loan consultants. We're going to have to know things almost like financial advisors. We're going to really have to, it's more than just taking an app and locking a loan. You've got to advise people and know your stuff and strategize and really bring added value to people. Otherwise, the AI is going to replace us.
Yeah,
okay?
I totally agree.
And so we've got to build in more value to what we do. And I don't think you could ever really truly replace the human counsel, consultant, even some wholesale lenders out there, just as a broker. If I can't talk to someone, and if I have a problem and I can't work with an AE that actually can problem solve, they're just there, they're basically a sales rep, then I really don't want to put my loans with them, because when I'm out of a problem, I need somebody to help me. And I think that's what consumers feel. And that's why we need to be that person that can really help them solve problems. And sometimes AI, they can't do that. So,
yeah, no, I totally agree. And one of my clients, I won't name her. She knows, though. She listens to the podcast all the time. But one of my clients yesterday on one of our coaching calls said, it's like dealing with Jake from State Farm, right? Every time that you're contacting someone, you know, and you push 20 different buttons to get to that person, you're dealing with Jake from State Farm. That's really who you're dealing with. He's a character, right? But still, that's who you're dealing with.
Yeah. Can I interject with that analogy? You deal with Jake with State Farm, or you can deal with Flo, the lady that's on the beach that overhears the conversation.
Right, and has to run.
She's like, oh, let me go help you. You know, that's who we need to be, not the other one. Yeah.
Right. So. Right. I just saw that commercial last night. That was the first time I saw that one. That was cute. Yeah. And I do agree with you. There's a statistic out there. It may be like from Boston Consulting or something like that, that they took 600 companies and said, you know, how is your customer experience? Because this is what it's about. We obviously know when you think about Amazon, for example, it's convenient. There's no doubt about it. But we do have an experience as a result of it. So it's not just the conveyor belt of getting something, but the experience and why it's so good to get it. And they follow up with little hey, how was your experience and making sure it was done, which is one thing that most of us in our industry don't do. We just close the loan and close the casket on our relationship and away we go and bring flowers, you know, to close the loan. But they surveyed 600 companies, and of those 600 companies, 82% of them said, oh yeah, our client experience is really good. Now, I'm not saying customer service. I'm saying client experience. There's a difference. And saying, oh, my client experience is really good. But when they surveyed the clients associated with those people, only 8% said that the experience is good. So there's a big disconnect in what we think is a good experience. And particularly when we're talking about AI, we're talking about the digital revolution, right? And evolution that we're having, that digital version is providing the experience that the consumer is looking for. And quite frankly, it's not. And that's a huge disconnect. So even as individuals and humans, when we think we're providing good service by all the tech and going through the system and following the process and all the technology, if we don't inject the human component of it, this is why we don't get repeat business. Why we lay in bed at night and go, I did a really good job. Why aren't they sending their friends?
Yeah, I hear you 100%. And something else that I think as originators and mortgage professionals, we've got to remember is the mortgage. We do this day in and day out. It's old hat for us. But these people, they don't buy a house every day. And it's buying a home. It is a stressful process. People got to move. And we got to remember that. And it's almost like a doctor that loses his bedside manner because he does it so much. We can't lose our bedside manner with people. We've got to be there to, I hate to say it, pat them on the hand and, hey, it's going to be okay. And the little updates, because if you don't, then they're going to fill out a survey, like you said, and go, oh, I had a bad experience. Well, because look, getting a mortgage is not fun. It's not fun.
No, you know? It's not.
We're not selling a mortgage. They're buying a home. And we got to remember that. We're just the instrument for that, for what they really want.
Yeah. Well, they don't go to customer school, right? There's no such thing as customer school. I'm going to customer school to know how to act as a client. Yeah. They don't go to that. And you know, and I think it's important for us to remember, and not that everyone should do this. Please don't take my advice on this, everybody. A little side note here. You know, I should talk fast when I do it because it's a disclaimer, right? But we've never had a 30-year fixed rate mortgage, my husband and I. We've been married 38 years and we've always had adjustable rate mortgages. And it's kind of like the hairdresser who always has different color hair because she's testing it out on herself. And that's how we've always done that. We've always had adjustable rate mortgages, which have forced us to go through the process to relive it, to understand what adjustments we need to make. And that is not an advice for everyone because there are risks associated with ARMs, as we know, but we've always had an adjustable rate mortgage. And we have one right now, even in this market, because why? It's cheaper than a 30-year fix still.
Wow.
So I haven't had to do anything.
I've never heard that, but wow.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
I see what you're saying because it forces you, if it goes up, then you can tighten your belt or whatever. So yeah.
So we've always, you know, if we've refinanced, we've refinanced back into another ARM again, but we haven't done a mortgage on our home. We've had our home for 17 years and we started with a 5-1 ARM and we still have it.
Wow.
We still have it. Yeah, because there's no need for us to do anything with it. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
So we do forget
that people, you know, we just take it for granted and we have to slow down sometimes so that we can really help our clients. So, okay, a couple quick questions and then we'll be finished. Drew, what are you reading right now?
What am I reading?
Or listening to?
Oh, Lordy. You know, I have been so busy, really, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I've really made time to read, some of you are going to love this.
Guidelines.
But honestly, the only thing I've had time to read is my Bible.
Yeah.
You know?
Good.
So that's what I do. I do my devotions and I actually really like to read. I just have been going 90 to nothing. And that's the only time I've had time for is my morning devotion. So,
and that's great. I love that habit. I love that consistency because that is exactly what top producers do. What great professionals do is that they have the consistency on the things that are most important in their lives. So I think that's beautiful. Do you have a mantra that you live by?
I do, but it would be deemed as a religious mantra. So
it's okay.
That's fine. So
I've had this podcast for 7 years and people know.
I'll tell you my mantra and I'm going to give you kind of where I came from and the illustration I think about. Think about that movie, Schindler's List.
Yes.
At the end of the movie, after he spent all this money, all of his wealth to buy the Jewish people from the ovens of the concentration camps. And then at the end, when everybody's standing there and applauding him, he begins to weep and he said, I could have done more. You have no idea how much money I've wasted. And they said, but you did so much. He said, but I could have done more. And then he looked at his car and he said, this is 10 more people. He looked at the little Nazi pin on his lapel. He said, this is gold. This is two, at least one more person. And he was broken. Even though that they applauded what he did, he realized I could have done more. And there's a scripture in Ecclesiastes that says it's better to go to funerals than at parties, because everybody will die and the living should take this to heart. And so I think about at the end of my life, everything I did, all the success, everything I've acquired, did I accumulate this for my own selfish desires, or did I use the things that I've been entrusted with in order to make a difference in people's lives, whether it be orphans in the Philippines or in Africa? Or those are not just random things. I mean, are you really using something? Your neighbor down the street that is about to lose her home in foreclosure, have you written them a check to help them out? You know, when we've been blessed with our resources. And so at the end of my life, and so I kind of have, this is my mantra. I don't want to live for this day. I want to live for that day. Mm-hmm. The day that Schindler was faced with what he did. I want to live my life today for that day. And I want to make sure that I invest in other people's lives while I'm here. And so that's my mantra. It's a long answer, but that's what I live by.
No, it's good. I thought you were going to go to whom much is given, much is expected.
That's actually
because
great.
That's basically it. Yeah. And it's funny you say that, because we talk about that quite a bit when I'm working with my students, because we do live in this beautiful industry, right? We have this, of course, I'm not originating anymore, but this beautiful industry that we have, that the dollars that we make on every widget that we sell are so exponential to the next guy down the street. And to hoard that is ridiculous, right? We want to be able to give it away and to be able to serve and give to others. So we talk about that all the time. We definitely talk about that all the time. So it's beautiful. I love it. And you know what? It lets us get deep into who you are. And that's what attracts people to people, their products, their service, whatever it is they're doing. They love hearing these kinds of stories. So Drew, I want to say thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your information. We will have all of the links below so that people can get information about it. And I know we have a little special link for those that are listening here, so they get a little special from your pre-app program. And again, I just want to say thank you for making the change in our industry that is impacting our industry. At the end of the day, you've already made the impact and you continue to do it more. So it's been an honor to have the opportunity to interview you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen. I appreciate the opportunity. Really, it's been great. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So everybody, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen in. We hope that you got a good nugget here. You got some scripture, you got some AI, you got some technology, you got some relationship building, you got an accent from someone in Texas. It's all good. We thank you for listening and we'll catch you next time on Mortgage Lending Mastery.
Using Rocket Pro TPO is like managing a team of all-stars. Our powerhouse squad of purchase underwriters complete document reviews and initial underwrites in just one day. With our industry-leading mortgage insurance and with a wide variety of products to use, your mortgage game will have zero weaknesses, helping you and your clients win more closings against today's tough competition. Rocket Pro TPO, compete at the highest level. Call for cost information and conditions, equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Thanks for listening to Mortgage Lending Mastery. Be sure to subscribe to hear more sales tips, ideas, strategies, and tactics to help you with your personal and professional growth to multiply your results in record time. And if you like what we're doing, don't forget to give us a rating and review so we can continue to bring you the best content possible. Wanting more beyond the podcast? Join our Mortgage Lending Mastery membership community, where you will find extended interviews with our favorite guests, weekly training, tips, and insider secrets. Fireside chats with Jen, free content, meet, share, and collaborate with other members, and so much more. Click the link in the show notes to learn more about this exclusive content. Mortgage Lending Mastery is an Industry Syndicate charter podcast. Industry Syndicate is the first podcast network specifically for the mortgage and real estate industries. Get the Industry Syndicate app in the App Store or Google Play today.